worry about. If we're surrounded, we are surrounded by Him. My weapon, I have that on a playlist. Thank you, Michael. And that playlist is called Weapon of My Choice, because praise is going to be my weapon of choice. So, Gary, I know you're just getting in. Would you mind taking up the offering for me? And when you're done, you can just hand that to Angela. We're going to be in Titus chapter 3 tonight, and we're going to talk about stay fixed on the way. I think I'm a little loud. Thank you. I want to concentrate tonight on Titus 3, verse 3, the middle section there that says, "We were easily led astray as slaves to worldly passions and pleasures." Now, Titus, as you know, is being guided and taught by Paul. We believe that he was converted under the ministry of Paul. And Paul's got a lot of trouble going on, because Paul's just going to love the Lord no matter what. Gets him in prison. Done than Timothy, because he sends him to the harder place, which is Crete. And for those of you who've been with this study, you know that Crete is a bunch of troublemakers, rebel rousers, and Titus was from Crete. So he's sending him back there to help the church out. So in chapter 1, he's really talking about, let's stand firm in what we believe. Chapter 2 is more about get the believers in sync with the right doctrine, what we need to know. And the third thing we're going to look at tonight is that we as believers, we're going to have to reach our society. We're called to do it. So I cannot lead society to Jesus if I don't lead me to Jesus first. Okay? Because without knowing the Spirit of God, if I just have the Word of God, I equate that to a bludgeoning, because anybody can set somebody straight with the Word. Have you ever been set straight with the Word? Have you? Raise your hand. Anybody set you straight? Well, here's what you're doing. Did you? Anybody really enjoy that? Please stand up, because we all want whatever good, generous spirit it is you have, because none of us enjoy that. But I find that when we have the Word and the Spirit, and we'll touch on the scripture in a little bit, the Spirit is taking the Word and He's putting it. He's inside of you. He's alive. And He's causing that live Word of God to come back to you when you need it. It's going to restore you. It's going to revitalize you. It's going to be brought back to remembrance. And it's the Spirit of God that does that, because He hears what the Father says. So praise is how we're going to fight our battles. And I hope you'll remember that and tag it along with this. When I feel like I'm surrounded by Him, okay? We're in some rough waters in this nation. We're really rough waters around the world. I think if we would compare it, we'd find out we're not so bad off. But I want to tell you what happened to me yesterday. Yesterday, I was coming to work in the morning, and as I was coming, there's this squirrel in the road. So I decided he's going straight across the road, you know, like to my left. So I thought, well, I'll go to the right to make sure I don't hit him. Well, I'm already committed to the right, and he stops in the middle and goes, and I was like, oh, dear God, there's no way. It's wet. If I run up, you know, immediately you're thinking this, right? If I get up on the curb, I'm going to make a mud hole in somebody's yard. God, please help me. I don't want to hit this squirrel. So here's the squirrel, and he goes and continues on, and I missed him. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And he really spoke to me in that. And what he was showing me is, in that moment of indecision, it could have cost that squirrel his life. Because there's a way that he's going, and he's going the way to protect us. And if we're double-minded, and if we're trying to figure things out for ourselves, and second-guess what we know's the right way, we could lose our lives. And it's a serious thing. It's really not a joke. Even though Steve and I have this little thing, you know, this little meme up here says, you know, I didn't always get distracted. Hey, look, a squirrel. And Steve and I have this little joke about that because sometimes, you know, none of you know this about Steve, I'm sure, but sometimes he gets distracted. And so we have this little code word, and we'll just go squirrel, you know, to bring him back. I don't have him on medication. I don't believe in it, so. But there's a responsibility and a provision for us. God is never going to ask you to do something that he's not going to provide for you. And Danica, why don't you stand up and turn around and show everybody your cute little shirt. Bring your Bible to school day, October the 4th. I want you to know, thank you, love. Did a good job. We brought these T-shirts. We've supplied them. You have supplied these shirts and Bibles. It amazes me how many kids still don't have Bibles. And phone apps don't really count, okay? That's all right. But, you know, sometimes you can't always have that on. And there's nothing like the Word, really, guys. And so we've been providing Bibles and T-shirts. We've got this opportunity. I'm excited. Lexi, she's going to wear her shirt. Hey, why don't you guys come on over and join us over here so I can see your cute faces, because I don't want to have to turn all the way over there, and I like you. So we want responsibility. We want provision. God's never going to ask you to wear that shirt or take a Bible that he's not going to provide for you what you need. But the thing we forget, squirrel, is that this is painful, or I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable. Look what happened to me, squirrel. Stay focused on what God's doing, because God is providing for you. I want to read for you out of 1 John 2:1, this is out of the Passion Translation. Christ is the answer for sin. Let me just stop right there. Is there anything else that's going to answer sin? Is there anything else that can cleanse your guiltiness? Is there anything that can take off that oppression? Anybody tried another way? Raise your hand. Have you tried something else? Helen, bless your heart. You're just the most faithful, honest, first one to raise that hand, girl. Come on, tell the truth. We've all tried other things. Don't, oh, well, you know they're drunk. No, how many people use shopping therapy, right? There's other things besides the big two or three. But this says, Christ is our answer for sin. You're my dear children, and I write these things to you so that you won't sin. But if anyone does sin, it does not say you are always going to be on track and perfect. He doesn't want us to get off track. He's made provision for it. But he says, but if anyone does sin, we continually have a forgiving Redeemer who is face to face with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Redeemer. Tuck that word away. Redeemer. Because he's a Redeemer. I want to read some scriptures to you about this, how he has provided for us. 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, but if a person passionately loves God, he will possess the knowledge of God. Well, I'm having trouble learning. Well, where's your passion? Can you beat a video game, but you can't find... Never, keep going. How about 2 Corinthians 9:7? Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. How about Galatians 2:20? My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails, oh, this is so good. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. He says new life is empowered by faith. So if I'm running low, if I'm not feeling really charged up, chances are my faith is not in him. How about 1 John 4:21? For he's given us this commandment, whoever loves God must also demonstrate love to others. See, we're not going to be greedy. You don't just get married and then go, okay, well, now that I'm married, here's my debt. Now that I'm married, here's my emotional to-do list. No, when you join in that union, there's a completion that doesn't just work for one person, it works for both, okay? How long do you think a marriage is going to last with the idea that I'm married, you love me, let's just call it a day? Think anybody in here get tired of that? I do. How about Psalm 107 that says, lift your hands, surrender, and worship, and stay open? And I'm thinking that really what he's saying, Paul was saying to Titus, is we got a lot of squirrels here. We got a lot of distractions that are going on and taking away love from my people. The main thing I want you to get tonight is squirrel. Anything that distracts or takes the place of God in our hearts is bankrupting the rich soil of His Word and His love in our lives. So, help me out tonight. Here's another little meme. What distracts us? Tell me what distracts us. Everybody loves Dory. She's always distracted. Distractions are rude during presentations. Oh, look, a Snapchat. Yeah. If I see any of these heads going down, I know where you guys are. Okay, I'm just saying. Right? Oh, look, look what happened here. So what are some things that cause us to be distracted? Technology? Name something else. Television, chores and responsibilities, friends, money. That's a big one, Mariah. Yeah. What's something else? Sleep. What was that? Yes. Yeah. All these things, material things, all those things are distractions. But do you know that the world caught on to what's going to distract you and get you into their focus? See, the Word says it. He lights the way. Have you ever noticed a child, or I am, I'm still a child on this, fireworks? Anybody ever seen The Sandlot? You know, and the kids are supposed to be doing something, they're like, you know, light. It's true in the natural and in the supernatural. Why do you think Vegas has all these lights? Why do you think casinos have all these lights? Why do you think that Hollywood has the big beams and everybody? Because it's to distract you. Lights, bells, whistles, music. It's distractive to us. And sometimes we're distracted because we're more concerned about what Oprah thinks. Here's a good cause. Let's jump. Man, Oprah said... I've heard that. I've also heard, man, Joel Osteen said, ooh, don't be messing with the holy people. I'm not trying to make them good or evil. If you're saying that's not what Gay said, you're just as wrong. This isn't a good or evil thing. There's a place where we need to hear from God for ourselves, because I'm telling you, some of you in this room have such an anointing on your life that the enemy has you so distracted, you have not listened to him enough to hear those tidbits of wisdom that have gone through the depth of your pain to bring out something that somebody needs to hear, like that song, "You're My Defender." You go before me. You fight my battles before I even know. And that pain has brought that beauty into being. And I'm telling you, some of you in this room have beautiful testimonies, not to glorify the pain, but to glorify the Savior for what He's done for you through that pain. But we're distracted because, well, you know, that's a cute little quote. Let me just, you know, put that one up there. How about some of you who have cute little quotes? I've heard you say some things that have really helped me. We still use Annette Langford's stop, drop, and pray instead of stop, drop, and roll. Years ago, we had the fire house out here, and it was stop, drop, and roll. And she's like, ooh, stop, drop, and pray. We still use that, right? So there's something. It may seem simple, but it may get you through something, and somebody else needs it. So what happens is, we know that we're all sinners, we're saved by grace, but we easily get distracted. When I say distracted, I want you to say squirrel. Okay. So we need to focus on Jesus, and we know that he can forgive the distraction, and we can have real value, because the truth is, with all these distractions, we're getting spiritually bankrupt. Right? Let me explain that. When I don't have joy, when I don't have peace, and when I don't have hope, I become spiritually bankrupt, because those are investments that heaven gives you to get through this world. Our goal, guys, is not just to make it through this world. Our goal is heaven. My purpose here is to go through the tribulation so that when I get to heaven, because I'm going, and I'm not going through the tribulation. If y'all want to stay here and debate it theologically, go right ahead, because the rest of us aren't even going to have time to wave goodbye to you. We're just going to go and get right to it. And I do believe that. But it's not about good or evil in any of those things. And I want you to know that even though Paul had to give Titus guidelines for how to talk to people, and we'll study that next week about the doctrines and how to talk to people, it wasn't because that he wanted to set people straight. It was because there's a world that's watching you that needs to be set free. And remember this. Everybody goes, well, you know, you got to be firm. You got to be, how do you want it? Yeah? And maybe that's how you got it. So you just want to set people straight. I want to be set free. I don't want to be set straight. Remember the word I talked to you about, redemption? Let me just explain the difference between that. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says that you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Redemption, friends, is when a price has been paid in full and the possession changes ownership. He's redeemed me. If you didn't hear Sunday's message, you need to listen to it. I believe Aaron's already uploaded it. You need to hear that message, and if you were here, you probably need to hear it again. Because I've been redeemed. He sought me. When the enemy tells you you don't have value, go back and read the word and know that I do have value. But there's this thing that people want to do, and specifically use Titus, because they want reformation. Reformation is, it's a change of your attitude, your appetites, your ambitions, and your actions. I'll say it again. Reformation is a change in your attitudes, your appetites, your ambitions, and your actions. And distractions will change all of those things. You get in the wrong relationship, squirrel, right? You're not focused on the Lord anymore, because while we, those of you who were down here worshiping and feeling and experiencing God, some of us don't know that yet because of whatever reason, and we just enjoy that flesh, arm around the shoulders, stroking your back, squirrel, where you need to be headed. And it takes us into things where we pick up good causes that are distractions. You're still listening. Good. So it's not reformation that we want, because reformation goes back to the list. Don't smoke, don't chew, don't drink, don't spin, don't go, you know, boating on Sunday, you know, don't watch too much sports, don't watch R-rated. We're not after reformation, I'm after redemption. Because when I realize that I have more value than that being my biggest motivation, I come back in line with the things that God wants for my life. So I want to read you some scriptures that talk about keeping the Bible as your compass of truth. Now, a compass is always going to show you where north is, right? So I find that the Bible is always going to show me the way that he wants me to go. And if I'm not distracted, let's try it again, just so it sounds good on the internet. And if I'm not distracted, right, then I'm going to stay focused on the things of God, and I won't have to go over and repeat this and relearn it and have the enemy whisper in my ear, you're a failure, you're an idiot, look, how could he use you, and all those other things that are contrary to the value that he sees in us. So let me just start off with Hebrews 12:2. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who births faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Nothing you're going to do is going to make you perfect, because perfection is not an ultimate. Perfection is a process of maturing. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing you, that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Proverbs 4:25, watch where you're going. Set your gaze on the path before you. With fixed purpose, look straight ahead and ignore life's distractions. Luke 10:41, the Lord answered her, Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions? Are they really that important? How about Colossians 3:2? Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. Heaven is not a fairy tale. It's a reality. And not the distractions of the natural realm. How about 2 Timothy 2:4? For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. See, here's the thing. Well, you've got the spirit and you've got the soul. So while Steve and I always have this little joke about squirrel, you know, some people say he's ADD. In the natural, we call that attention deficit disorder. But I was thinking about this today with that squirrel in the street and how he almost lost his life because of just that split second of indecision. Because I'm committed. I saw where he was going. I made the provision. That split second of indecision. And so when the Lord said that to me about, I've prepared the way, and that's how it is with the way I prepared for you. When you think, you try to second guess me, you try to figure out how you can beat it. Here's the thing that he said to me. You're always defending darkness. ADD, it is a spiritual disorder. You're always defending. Well, that's not true. That's not in me. How about this? Well, you know, I don't really want to go and talk to them right now because they're hurting. Let's just leave them alone and, you know, let them have that little five-day whatever it is, binge thing. Let's just, because they're hurting. Aren't you defending darkness instead of loving somebody and saying, hey, let me pull alongside you. Come on, let's get out of this. Why? Because it's bankrupting your spirit. You don't have joy. You don't have peace. You don't have hope. If the bottle's empty, so's your hope. Right? If the vape's gone, so's your hope. If the shopping coupon's gone, so's your hope. If the last Hershey Kissy's gone, so's your hope. Right? You with me? And it's not, guys, that these things are the things that are going to separate us from the love of God. The truth is, if I'm defending darkness, I'm not walking in the light. Here's something else we say. Well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven, but I'm mad at them. And I have my rights after all. You know, everybody's, and my grandma told me I should be mad. Oh, you're defending darkness because grandma isn't Jesus. Okay? How about this one? Well, you know, Lord, but God, they're my children. So I'm going to tell on me. Because I found that this was the time where I was always defending darkness. So I'm praying, and I'm just going before the Lord for charity. God, give her a house. God, please, God, the winter's coming. Like he doesn't know. Okay? I'm just being honest. You know, none of you pray like this, I know, but just bear with me and love me through my faults. But I'm like, God, you know, the winter's coming. They don't have but one bathroom. The boys can't go outside anymore. It'll be cold, you know, yellow snow, all that other stuff. God, it breaks my heart. It's killing me, God, to know that, you know, there's a cot outside a washer and dryer when one of my grandkids is sleeping. It's just breaking my heart, God. You know, really, when, you know, my grandmother, you know, There was the outhouse, right? And they were all like six of them on the floor on pallets. But, you know, now I'm feeling sorry. Hey, it's where we live. It's my grandkid. Always defending the darkness. So I'm going in there with my justifications, and I'm like, God, they have been faithful. Like, I know better than he does, right? But I need to remind him, because my God's forgetful. That's what I'm really saying. So he just taps me on the shoulder. And he goes, Gay, do you love her more than I do? Because you sound like you do. And I was like, Lord, no. And he's like, then I want you to know that there's not one thing that she's going to suffer and go through that I'm not going to pay back everything the enemy's taken from her. That there's not one bit of pain that she's going to go through that a message isn't going to come forth from her, or a book or a song from him that's going to help set other captives free. But if you really believe that you can do a better job than I can, you just keep buying those lottery tickets. Right? You just keep using that credit card to buy their clothes. You just keep, because you know, you have to defend your darkness. Yeah, it's good when it's me talking about it, isn't it? And I hope it's good to set you free. Because I want you to understand, I can't defend darkness because, number one, she's not a child anymore. And there's a place where this is exactly what I did. I said, God, you gave her to me. You entrusted her to me. I dedicated her to you, but you gave her to me to raise. And I release my rights over her to you. And I give her to you today. And I'm saying, take care of your girl. Protect your girl. And I know you know this, but I'm just bossy and I need you to hear it. And he's like, I know that about you. I'm not offended. This is, okay, y'all may not want to come back because I'm explaining to you how crazy I am. But this is how he and I talk. And so I find that. That's, guys, understand, this is the thing. I have a responsibility. But the Bible is intended to share truth. And truth is the aim of my belief. There's, whatever you believe is where your truth is. The Bible is a tested, proven, and powerful position for believers in Christ. If you don't believe him, you're going to be, they're going to pick the Bible apart. And if you get distracted, you're going to listen to what they're saying instead of the word. Well, how come? And the other night, I'm watching the grandkids, and Eli climbs up on me. He goes, honey, I'm serious. I really need to know something about God. He's very analytical and, you know, thinking. I don't know where he gets that from. But he said, honey, I've really been thinking about this. Now, if nothing is impossible to God, and God decided that he was going to build a wall between heaven and earth that nobody could get through, even like the things from heaven, would that mean that he would make it so that it would be impossible to him? And making it impossible to him, does that make it something that's impossible for God to do? And I said, Eli, son, I want to tell you something. God's bigger than you and my thinking. And if God wants to put a secret door nobody knows about than him, he's going to put it there. And you and I will never figure it out. And if God wants to create this special human, you know, earth, angelic-looking thing that can dig down under the biggest fence and make the way for escape, he can do it. But don't limit him to a fence. Let God be bigger than that. And he was like, oh. I said, because the Bible says he'll make a way where there's no way. And you and I are never going to understand everything in the Bible, but there'll come a day where you'll come up against something that you think is impossible, and God will show you his business. And he's like, so you're saying, I said, I'm saying nothing's impossible to God. Just believe that. Right? Because we're not going to figure things out. Here's the difference. We're like, well, you know, my brain, he's given me a brain. Do you not want to use it? No, I want you to have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is not a brain, because a brain's an organ. The mind is bigger than your brain, because the brain would never believe that two fish and five barley loaves could feed 5,000. You know what I love about that story? You know how many basketfuls were left? 12. Say 12. How many disciples were there?
12.
Yeah. What do you think he was saying? Don't doubt me again. That's kind of what I'm thinking. I fed everybody. They're full. Here's a whole basket full. Just enjoy. Because I got enough left over for your doubt to be proven that it needs to bow at the goodness I have in store for you. He's a good God, folks. And anyone who says the word is enough, you know, well, we just need the word. Just, you better read that word. You better know that word. You better, the word. Am I against the word? No, I've probably given you more scripture than you even could, you know, get as I'm going through this. Why do I say that? Because if we don't have the power of the Spirit with the word, it's like that spark plug that just can't get that engine going. Everything's there, but you need that igniter. You need something to work with it. So I want to read to you tonight. You know, prove that to me. Listen, I don't have to prove anything to you, but I'm going to go ahead and share this scripture with you. And this is out of 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 14. The scripture before it, you should really read the whole thing. But it says, "For God has unveiled them and revealed them to us," talking about prophetic things and words of God, "through the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things diligently." Where does the Spirit live? I didn't hear that. You mean that you have the Spirit of the living God inside you, and here's this word saying that the Spirit of the living God is going to do it. Let me tell you something. Anybody that tells you that you don't have the Spirit of God is too spiritual to listen to. Yeah. Okay. It says, "For the Spirit searches all things diligently, even surrounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels, and things far beyond human understanding." This is the Amplified Version. "For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him?" How can somebody judge you and tell you if the Spirit lives in you or not? They don't know you. Most people, most of us don't even know ourselves till we get in trouble. And then we're like, ooh, I didn't know that was in me. Yeah, I'm driving Charity home and the kids one day, and they're all three in the van, and I'm driving, and I picked up this girl, you know, and before she gets in the car, I told her mom I'd take her home. Before she gets in the car, Charity's crying. I'm like, "What happened?" She goes, "Well, today, this girl, she was so mean to me, and everybody was laughing at me, and she was making fun of me, and blah, blah, blah." I was like, "Oh, really? Okay." So we take her home. I'm being really sweet. This horrible, horrible. You know, always defending darkness. So, yeah, distracted. So she gets ready to get out of the car, and I said to her, "Hey, I just want you to know, I'll be by to pick you up tomorrow, but if you ever talk to my daughter like that, you're going to wish you hadn't." And the look on her face, and I was like, I set her straight. And the Holy Spirit goes, "You've just destroyed anything she believed that was good about you. Because you went after her with a bludgeoning tool and not with a surgical tool to weed out whatever it is that made her jealous of your daughter." I'm like, "Kids, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that." And they're all like, "Mom, I can't believe you said that." And, you know, Leah's like, "Yeah, she deserved it." And I'm like, "No, she didn't, because we don't deserve it either." Yeah, go with Leah. You could see her doing it, couldn't you? "For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Because you can have the Word of God without the character of God and hurt somebody like I had done. "So also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of this world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that we may know and understand." Listen, I want you to know the word, but I want you to pray and praise him and let that love and let that understanding of the word come on you, so we're not just a bunch of hypocrites and fault finders. Because listen, Society doesn't need to tell them they're going to hell. Society needs for me to tell them how to go to heaven. That's a tool of the world, not of God. Here's what absolute truth is. Absolute truth is something that is true at all times and in all places, and it's something that is always true no matter what the circumstances. Lots of people try to tell you there is no absolute truth. But I want you to understand there is absolute truth because there are no round squares. But absolute truth is based on my belief. It is absolutely true that God will keep you from going crazy. I know it. Y'all think I'm crazy now? You better be glad I know Jehovah. That's all I'm saying. Right? Because I would be crazy. There are things in this world that make us so crazy, we want to bolt and run or kill ourselves. Oh, I didn't get an amen, but I got a couple of, like, dear Lord, she knows she's heard me in the house. No, we're just all human. Everybody wants to bolt once in a while. Squirrel. Don't be distracted or fooled. Stay fixed on the way. So I want to tell you about the way. I want to read to you out of 1 John 2, verse 15. Don't set the affections of your heart on the things of this world or loving the things of this world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. He's not going to go on a date with you and your mission to hurt yourself or someone else. For all that the world can offer us, the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance, none of these things came from the Father, but they come from the world. The world and its desires are in the process of passing away, but those who love to do the will of God live forever. Dear children, the end of this age is near. I believe that. But I have to stay focused. So while I believe that there's an absolute truth, I also believe that I have to be walking in redemption and not in reformation. And the only one who can redeem me and pay the price of all the things that I've done or I'm going to do. When I say that I'm going to do, I'm not saying I have a get out of jail free pass because I have a golden ticket to go to heaven. I'm saying there's a responsibility because I'm saved, not for me any longer, but for the world. To love. To care. People are rallying around things that are good causes. But if a cause brings division, it's not of God. And people have such passions. Their passions are burning over these right things. But if your passion, if your unity is hate, yeah, always defending darkness. It's a good cause. Yeah, let's go blow up an abortion clinic. Does that even make sense to you on any level as a believer? Right? No. Does it make any sense to you to go to somebody who's hurting and their teeth are rot from drugs and you know that they're down? Does it make any sense to you to go to them and just go, well, that's what you get, being stupid? You think that's going to win anybody to Christ? Anybody in here enjoy that? Anybody? Come on, tell me you like it. And if that's all you know, come away from what you know. Stop always defending darkness. Well, you know, the Word says. I want you to know that you better know the Spirit of God and how He treats you before you go using the Word of God on somebody. And Titus is one that people love to pull out and use on people. Well, go to them one-on-one, and if they don't get it, you better get two or three, and then you better get whatever, and I'm going into next week's lesson, but let me tell you why it was important for Titus, because there was just one church. There wasn't one on every corner. There wasn't like, well, we don't like y'all, we're going to go over here, and now we got the church of the non-hymnal, and we're going to go to the church of the hymnal. And we're going to go to the church of the wearing hats, and we ain't going to go to the church of the not wearing hats. And then we're going to go to the church where they keep you to 1 o'clock because that's when you know you're holy, instead of the one that lets you out before noon because their word's so watered down it just flows right out the door. He had one church, and he had to set the doctrine sound in it, and that's why he's saying, just separate yourselves. It's still a good word, but it's not the word for you to go out and just judge people. Okay, don't you think I should tell them, you know, if they're wrong? I sure do, but I don't think you should tell them if you're self-righteous. Yeah, okay. So now, Titus 3:3. We were easily led astray as slaves to worldly passions and pleasures. Let me read to you from 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 4. But you need to be aware that in the final days of the culture of society, love the Passion Translation. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce and difficult for the people of God. It's not going to get better. People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that's right. They will ignore their own families. They'll be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. It's like I'm reading the headlines. Slaves to their own desires, they'll be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. And with brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their own conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of the world more than the pleasures of the living God. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these. Seriously, I've never played the game Fortnite. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you do. Don't look guilty. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, he's calling us out. Did you know that in the UK, 100 divorces have cited that game for their divorce? It's a game. But we can all get so caught up in things that are passionate. I've said to you so many times, you can be right and miss out on love. You can be right and never be satisfied until everybody else is just as miserable as you are and toe under to your rightness. And what is a loveless world? I love this. Here's the thing. Every time I get beat down, distracted, put my love in the wrong place, every time I get focused on something that isn't God and I take up the cause, whether you think it's justified or I think it's justified, isn't the point. I mean, my goodness, my daughter with 5 kids living with 1 bathroom in a 3-bedroom house, 7 people, wouldn't you call that a legitimate cause? And they're believers. They love the Lord. They forget your checklist. Forget my checklist. Do you trust Him? Do you trust God? That's where we're coming in, guys. Because you're going to get in the middle of the road of life, and if you're not deciding, you're going to be destroyed. Because that's what the enemy wants to do, is destroy your mind and freak you out with facts and figures until you can't even realize who God is. But when we go through these things, there's something that I'm going to bring out of that. There's something that I'm going to go in and I'm going to mine that out. And here's exactly what the Lord was showing me in this passage of these scriptures here. It says in Ephesians 2, let me read out of Matthew 13, 22 through 23. He says, the seed sown among weeds represents the person who receives the message, but all of life's busy distractions, his divided heart, and his ambition for wealth result in suffocating the kingdom message and prevent him from hearing and bearing spiritual fruit. As for the seed that fell upon good ground, that's the Bible calls it rich soil. It represents the hearts of people who hear and fully embrace the message of kingdoms, the heaven's kingdom realm. Their lives bear good fruit, and some yield a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as they've sown. Guys, that's not just talking about money. That's talking about your love, your encouragement, your hope, the things that you give, that they'll come back to you when you need it too. So if it's rich soil, I just wondered about this, and here's what I came up with. Ephesians 2:4. But I want to tell you, what makes for rich soil? Anybody, any agricultural people in here can tell me what makes for good soil? Fertilizer and decomposing things. And also rotation, so you're not doing the same thing over and over. My dad would rotate the rows, and every 2 years he would plant peanuts in a different position in that garden so that it could go back and bring nutrients that those peanuts had back to that soil that had been stripped from just planting green beans or tomatoes year after year. And the decomposing things that you think really stink, there's still value in them. And that's the rich soil. That's the thing that's feeding my relationship with Him, because I'm no longer dependent on me, because I've come to the end of me and I need Him. And then I got to thinking about it. If it's rich soil, why does He want the rich soil? Ephesians 2:4, but God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. He is watering your field with compassion and mercy. Woo! Even when we're dead and doomed in many sins, He united us into the very life of Christ, and He saved us by His wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ the Exalted One. There's a Word of God that's planted in you that the Spirit of God is going to activate and bring that dead seed that you thought you slept through that class, but you heard it. He's going to bring that thing to life when you get in trouble. He's going to bring that thing to light, because the rich soil of your trials and my trials is going to bring the rich compassion and mercy of Christ. And you want to talk about unity. You want to talk about intimacy. When my pain mixes with His pain, Jesus, who understood what you and I went through, I will produce a crop that will not die, but it will be eternal. And I got to stay with this way. And I got to forget the distractions. I got to stay focused on who He is and not these good causes. Man, it feels good to serve a good cause. Yes, that's why every year we're turning away volunteers who want to come once a year. I'm not lying, Emma Leslie. We turn them away who want to serve at Thanksgiving or Christmas because they want to do a good thing. And guys, I want you to hear me. We believe those people, we are touching with the love of God just as much as the people who are coming in for the meal. We've said that ever since we started. They're just as lost as the people who don't have the money for a meal. They're just as lost as the elderly people who have the money for a meal but don't want to be alone at a holiday because it reminds them of loss. There's always going to be people that want a handout. But how are you going to have your handout when you serve them? Because that's what He's saying. Serve society with love and with good news. Because the appearance isn't always what it's cracked up to be. So tonight, I'd like for you just to stand with me. If we are people absorbed, if I am politically absorbed, if I am absorbed with culture, if I am absorbed with fashion, all those things have a root in self, because somebody's promoting it. If I am self-absorbed, how can I absorb the things of God? We need to make room for Him tonight. And I'm asking you tonight. I'm short, I can't see. I'm asking you tonight, are you in need of power in your spirit? Because you know the word, but the enemy's using the word on top of you like he did Eve just to bruise you and make you doubt God. Well, the word says, doesn't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You sure didn't have faith today, squirrel. You didn't even know which way you were going. No, but you know what? I made a decision. And the decision is I'm not listening to you. I'm going to run to his forgiveness. I'm going to be empowered by the Spirit. And tomorrow, if I still squirrel it in the middle of that street, he's going to save me and redeem me because I'm going to run to him and not you. What's your weapon going to be? What's your weapon? Praise is my weapon. God, I don't know how I got in this mess. I don't know how I'm going to get out, but I want you to know I glorify your name because I know you're going to help me, and I'm going to make some rich soil from all this mess, and you're going to mix it with your rich mercy and compassion. I'm calling to you, God. No, not because we deserve it, but because you've already been redeemed, and redeemed means I'm not my own possession. I belong to him. I belong to you. Help me, mold me, fix me, shape me, redirect my thinking. Let the rich soil of my pain meet with the rich mercy and grace of you, God, tonight. Who needs it? Who needs it? I want you just to close your eyes right now. We're just going to pray over this time. God, I know there are people in here who are afraid to raise their hands because they're afraid of failure. And I break that off right now. It's a bold person who will go and speak life. But Lord, the world has taken a toll on many in this room. And I'm asking you tonight to set them free from that thought that's keeping them captive, from getting in that closet and just speaking in tongues at the top of their lungs. Lord, right now, give us a boldness. Nobody else even has to know it, guys. God knows your heart. God, give us the ability. Give me, Lord, the word that says that to keep my mind stayed on you. That's when I'm in perfect peace, Lord, so that I don't get off on these tangents of why people are suffering. And instead, I know that there's nothing you can't turn around for good. And that anything that the evil one intended, God, you will turn it for good because that's your word. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for the testimonies in this room from pain. Because we have proven that through the suffering of this world, our hope is in heaven. And God, you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. And for those who feel left out, I pray right now that you will have the courage to go home and to find a place to open his word. Seek after one thing that will bring you peace and let your weary soul begin to sponge in on his love with the Spirit. Let the Spirit begin to speak what God is saying to you through his word and through his power. Lord, tonight we just give you all the praise in this house because you're worthy. Because you're worthy. Because you've already gone before us. Because you've already won the victory. God, I just thank you right now for healing. I ask you, God, to touch Mike and Shannon tonight and raise them up. Touch Aaron tonight, God, and heal his body, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just raise up Donna Smith right now and David Smith, God, with joyful praise, God. They're already praising you, Lord. Let everyone who comes in contact with them, God, know your goodness and see it. Over Dave and Dee Dee tonight, Lord, I pray for healing, God. Lord, for those in this room who are going through pain and nobody knows about it, thank you, God, that somebody does know. And it's the most important somebody is you. God, my weapon of choice tonight is praise. And I'm just going to stand still and let you win this battle. And I thank you for that tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Now, those of you who have children, I want you to go ahead and get your children. If you'll just play that song again, but if there's something you just want to come down and pray over, you just need a little extra something, we're just going to let that song play, and you just come on down and work it out with the Lord. Amen.